Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hello, Monday morning. Try and talk your way out of this one. For 2 days, grand mini-sode. Try and make the most of the love that's left.
That's all I learned of that song. I'm going to be honest. I listened to it 1.5 times. And just that verse, because I forgot to pick one out this morning. But that's Monday morning by Morning Parade. Morning Parade, whoa. Big fans of the pod. What's going on?
They're huge fans of the pods. They literally don't stop emailing us. It's actually a problem.
They said we wrote this song specifically for the minisode.
Yeah, and like we beg of you. People can like email us as much as they want. That's fine, but it's like, you know, harassing things. You know, they objectify our bodies. They objectify our minds.
They say, ooh, that mind is so sexy. That mind is a big old piece of meat.
Literally.
I am more than just a mind. I am a heart and a soul.
And a pancreas. Get out of here.
Get out of here with that. Stop objectifying me.
And my mind. No, seriously. It's actually a problem.
Disgusting. Well, hello, everyone. My name is Ian Allred, and I am more than just my mind. Please take note. Please do not forget, I am not only a mind, I am a pancreas. Yeah, and I'm not only a pancreas, but I'm also a mini gleek.
Hey, what's up, everyone? I am Lena Knatzer, and I'm more than just my body. And I'm a mini gleek.
Happy Monday morning.
Wow.
Can you believe it? We're the first people to ever say it, but Mondays are crazy.
I know.
Remember how before this is the weekend and now it's like, oh, I got a whole week in front of me.
You know, here's the thing. I don't think I've had a real weekend like Saturday, Sunday in years.
Yeah.
In years. I called my dad today. The day that we're recording this is the day before it's going to come out. It's actually a Sunday morning. I called my dad yesterday to wish him a happy Father's Day and he went, do you know what day it is? And I went, honestly, no.
No, seriously. Seriously, I'm so turned upside down all the time. Literally. I get home from work between the hours of 12:30 and 1 a.m. Yeah. And so like my roommates are always asleep. So I get home and all the lights are off. And then I'll come home on Friday or Saturday night and like the lights will be on and someone will be awake. And I'm always like, what are they doing awake? Do they not have work tomorrow?
Yeah, and then I'll remember, tomorrow's Saturday. Oh, it's game day.
Exactly. I'm like, tomorrow's Saturday. It's a 2-show day. What the heck are they doing?
Honestly, the more I work nights, maybe you feel this way too. I just feel like a vampire. I would give anything to go grocery shopping after work. That's my biggest dream in the world right now. I can't do it though.
Whenever I have stuff going on where I have to wake up at like 7 or 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm going to cry. And when it's a one-time thing or like it's only lasting 2 weeks, which is like usually how it is when I have to wake up that early, I can just put on a strong face. But I do think back to like high school and I was waking up at 5. Of course, if I worked a 9-to-5 job, I wouldn't be waking up at 5:30 in the morning unless I had a crazy commute. But I was waking up at 5:30 every day. And I'm really like, I don't know how I survived. I used to wake up and just sit with my head against my dresser. And I'm not kidding. Some mornings I would just start crying because I was like, I cannot be awake right now.
No, I get that.
I can't go back to it.
I feel like so much of the world is built around the 9-to-5 schedule, though. So I feel like if your life doesn't fit in that, like, how do you operate in this world? Like, if I need to go grocery shopping, I need to get up early to go grocery shopping and then come back to my house to get ready to go out again back to work. But 9-to-5 kids can just go after work and then go home. Oh my God. Oh, that's working so 9-to-5.
What a way to make a living.
Barely getting by.
It's all taken and no given. Well,
they just use your mind. They objectify your mind.
They just objectify your mind and they never give you credit. God, it's enough to drive you crazy if you let it.
Word.
Well, we're here to talk about what the world needs now. Specifically, your thoughts on what the world needs now.
Y'all ready for this? Let's get started.
Let's
kick things off with... I don't even know this person because they didn't introduce themselves in the email. Let's see if we can guess who it is.
Subject line of this email is Ram, Sachel, Sari. I can't remember Sam's last name. And then the body of the email starts with no greeting whatsoever. It just says, for real, what is Sam's last name? Evans. It's Evans. Okay, so Bevins? What on earth is their ship name? Whatever. I just have to say how much I love their bubbling romance thing. It's the best. I felt judged for liking the hint of it back in that New York episode, and I'm here to stand by it. More so now, because it's this more human and more humble Rachel rather than hot New York Rachel. The moment when he forgot he is supposed to teach health class and says, I love you, bye, and she says, I love you back, and is like, wait, what just happened? Was adorable and great. We will see if Rachel deserves him in the end. I still probably want him to end up with Mercedes. I just like the way they write their characters in the awkward, flirting early stages of the relationship, which Mercedes and Sam are past. That is all. Bye. No signature, doesn't tell us her name, so this could be from Morning Parade. Honestly, I think it probably is.
Frick, it probably is.
It's so that makes Morning sense. Parade.
They also said your brain is so so yeah. Bumpy. Oh my God, Morning Parade! Stop.
It says, "P.S. Your brain is so unsmooth."
Literally, leave my brain alone.
It's gross. Please.
How
stop.
Did you know? It freaks me out. Cause how do they know what my brain looks like?
It's like. Your brain looks like two lumps that are kind of C-curved just smashed together. Please stop commenting on it. It makes me uncomfortable.
No, it does make me uncomfortable. Sometimes I think about how I'll never see my brain. Or if I see my
you
brain,
haven't
something
seen
is
your brain?
Wrong. No. Have you?
Are you serious? Yeah.
Oh, how did you see your brain?
I was lobotomized.
Oh, word.
Yeah. I don't know where I was going with that. I'm going to be so honest. Sometimes I start a bit and I don't have an ending in mind and I like, hope I'll find
also,
one.
Also, I don't think you need to see your brain to be lobotomized.
Yeah, I don't think you do see your brain when you're lobotomized.
I think you see the point of a needle though.
Anyways, all this to say that Morning Parade are big Sachel shippers.
Yeah.
Either that or this was sent by the no greeting bandit enemy of the podcast, Alex Allred.
The jury's out, though.
Pretty sure it's Morning Parade.
We're not sure.
And also Morning Parade, may I tell you that not only in this most recent episode, but every single episode that this dynamic has been a part of, we have referred to it as Sam-chel, the official ship name. So clearly, someone is not listening. No, they just spend the whole time thinking about how beautiful our brains are.
Yeah.
And honestly, I can't blame them.
I can't blame
them. It's like, you know, it's like when you see like a TikTok video or an Instagram post and then all the comments are like, don't ask me the color of anything right now.
Oh, yeah, totally.
That's Morning Parade listening to our podcast and like hearing how beautiful our brains are. And they're like, don't ask me the names of any ships right now. Like, don't ask me any ship names right now.
They're not retaining any ship names. They're just thinking about our beautiful brains.
Mm-mm. They can't handle it. They can't handle it.
Honestly, word.
Wonderful full circle moment. I remember the first time Bevins, as Morning Parade refers to them, was hinted at in that New York episode where Sam like goes to New York with Blaine. What is that? Moving out. It's moving out. And I stand by that I didn't like
that,
it.
The vibes were bad.
But that made me feel bad. But weirdly, ironically, not Morning Parade, but my brother Alex did email in saying that he liked that. And I guess he and Morning Parade felt the same way. So it's a huge moment of justification for them. So congratulations. Yeah. Allison Dodge really was on your side and convinced us that this ship is worthwhile.
Honestly, she's doing the Lord's work out here.
She is. She's a big Morning Parade fan.
Honestly. Thanks for your email, though. Up next, we've got a message from Jaden.
Hi, Ian and Lena. When I saw that the newest episode of the pod was featuring Gleek of the Week, I lost it. You're my two favorite Glee podcasts out there, so this was a great crossover, and I can't wait till you're on Gleek of the Week again. That being said, there is one major opinion I disagree with, and that is that Brittany was wrong in telling off Santana's grandma. For context, I'm a queer Latino, and my girlfriend is queer and white. We started watching the show because we saw ourselves in Santana and Brittany, both in a queer and interracial relationship, although our personalities are quite flipped. We are the same age that Brittany and Santana are in the show, and I also have some non-supportive members of my family, so when I saw this episode, I felt like crying. Brittany swindling Santana's grandma into a relationship is so on point for her, and the fact that Queso Por Dos sold to Univision is so funny. What I didn't see coming was Brittany basically telling her grandmother to die, but although I was shocked, I genuinely liked it. Brittany was willing to stand up for Santana in a moment she was too hurt to stand up for herself. And at the end of the day, I may hate to say it, but everything she said was true. Also, Brittany apologized, saying she didn't know what got into her, and Santana at the end of the day was okay with it and grateful that she had someone who loved her enough to stand up for her, which is also something my girlfriend would do for me if needed. Queer relationships that have homophobic family members are so difficult, and I liked that they showed nothing will get in the way of their love. That's just my opinion, but I thought the storyline was the best part of the episode. Brittany will always have a special place in my heart. Also, happy Pride Month, Pride flag emoji. Much love, Jaden, Las Vegas, Nevada, they, them.
Jaden, thank you so much for this message. We actually got kind of a lot of emails talking about a similar idea to this. So let's kind of do a block of these emails and then respond to this idea in general. But thank you so much for this message, Jaden. And I can't wait to keep exploring this thought. So let's hear another thought about a similar thing from Alex.
Hi, Lena and Ian. I'm Alex, he, him, and I've been a longtime listener, but this is my first time writing in. I wanted to talk about the What the World Needs Now episode, specifically about the Brittany and Santana plot, and offer a different perspective. This subplot was my favorite part of the episode, and I wasn't expecting you to not like it that much, though I understand your points. I do somewhat disagree with some of your takes, and I feel like some things that were mentioned in the episode were misinterpreted. Before I say anything else, I do agree that Brittany has a history of overstepping Santana's boundaries, which is absolutely not okay, and she shouldn't have contacted Alma without talking to Santana about it first. Saying that, I can understand where she's coming from. We see her earlier in the episode talking to Santana about her abuela. In this scene, Santana mentions that she has always dreamt of her wedding with her abuela there, sitting in the front row and bawling. Later on, she also says that if there was a way to change her mind, she would absolutely have her at the wedding and would forgive her. Hearing all of that, I can understand where Brittany was coming from, even if she went for it in the wrong way. As we see in the episode, Brittany has very supportive parents, and she knows how much Santana cares about her abuela. In her mind, she had this perfect plan to get them together again, to reunite Santana with someone who she loves, but who had rejected her in a horrible way in the past. I don't think it even crossed her mind that this could end badly, which we can see in her surprised and disappointed face when Alma starts speaking with Santana in her final scene, where seconds before, Brittany and Santana were literally begging her to come to their wedding. Alma refuses to come to her granddaughter's wedding, sees how much that hurts her granddaughter, and then still continues to call her a disappointment and a sinner, and Brittany is present to hear all of it. Alma treating Santana, her granddaughter, horribly after coming out, then not speaking to her for 3 years, and finally refusing to come to the wedding and saying all these things to her again, not only makes her a bad person, but a truly despicable one. In my opinion, after everything she did, she doesn't deserve Santana's forgiveness at all. To come back to that final scene with Alma, As I mentioned, Brittany is present and hears everything Alma is saying to Santana, which leads to her angry outburst. This is actually my favorite part of the episode, and I was surprised to hear your take on the scene and how you interpreted it. First, I'd like to insert a part of the AV Club's review, which illustrates some of the things I like about this moment. Quote, Abuela still just can't accept that her granddaughter wants to marry a woman, but this is no time for the sad piano. Brittany suddenly turns on her. Abuela's walking out the door, and Brittany says, good. She then goes off on a rant. The gist? We're all just waiting for her generation to die, only not in quite so many words and in Brittany's friendly sing-song voice. Heather Morris doesn't overemphasize. She's still Daffy Brittany, but her speech stings. And more power to her. For all the alleged sad comings out on television, you'd be hard-pressed to find one this unapologetic. Brittany and Santana tried to be, quote, good progressives, demonstrating the social benefits of gay marriage to the backward. But ultimately, they're sick and tired of subjecting themselves to such hatred. Right or wrong, and I wouldn't be surprised if Abuela eventually came around, what minority can't relate to that? What an unshown, honest expression of anger. And what a direct one on a show that's usually just firing snark every which way, unquote. Yes, Brittany could have made her point much nicer, but why would she? She just witnessed the woman she loves being rejected by her own family member again. Saw her get insulted and treated horribly by someone who has been shunning her for 3 years now, by someone who, quote, loves her. This next point is also taken from the AV Club review. Quote, but it's notable that Brittany and Santana give Abuela one last sincere try before deciding they're fed up with it. They earned that blow off at the end, and they earned it in the episode where Santana came out and was promptly rejected, and they've been earning it ever since, unquote. Brittany was angry, and she decided not to let Alma go before speaking her mind. Her point was that the world was changing for the better, and that she had already lost. You can't change everybody's mind, but with every new generation, the world is becoming a more tolerant place, and Alma and everyone else who shares her anti-family homophobic values are being left behind. She says all this precisely because she is a bigot and because she is treating her own family terribly. Her point is that times have changed and she and everyone who shares her opinion don't have power over them anymore, and they can't stop them from getting married, becoming a family, and having fulfilling lives together. Alma rejected her granddaughter twice, will not be attending her wedding, and doesn't want to have to see her again just because she's a lesbian. I do think she deserved to hear all this. All in all, I agree with the AV Club review and see this as a really honest and raw expression of anger. And that's what makes this one of my favorite scenes, not only of this episode, but of the whole show. As someone who lives in a country where being gay is not really accepted and who doesn't expect many of my family members to attend my wedding, if I'm ever even able to get married, this scene hits a bit close to home as well. I understand the feeling of loving your family and wanting to please them even if they do not support you. Anyway, sorry for this extremely long email. I just have a lot of opinions on this and wanted to share them with you and show a different kind of perspective. I'm not the most eloquent person, so I'm hoping I explain my points clearly. As I said, I've been a longtime listener and love your podcast. I look forward to it every week. You've been a constant in my life for quite some time now and got me through my final year of college last year, so thank you. I wish you both the very best. Best regards, Alex. Alex, not to be the morning parade, but
you're incredibly
eloquent to me. This was a beautifully crafted email.
Absolutely.
So don't sell yourself short.
No, you are very smart, and not to objectify your brain, but you're very eloquent. I really like this thought. You know, my romantic queer brain, in moments where I've faced homophobia from my own family, it's been my dream that, like, a partner or someone who loves me and, like, knows me more than those people do would defend me in that way. So I completely understand this take. And honestly, I agree with a lot of it. I think, and, you know, I think in real life, it would be hard to hear someone say that about your family member, even if they were a despicable person. So I think that's at least my initial prickle is I'm like, oh, my grandma, you know what I mean?
Yes.
But I completely understand this, and I understand why people really love it. And honestly, like, when you explain it that way, I actually really do like it. So, yeah.
Yeah, both Jaden and Alex, these emails are beautifully crafted. You make fantastic points. And I really like in Alex's email, the way that it talks about, you know, that Britannia tried to be the upstanding, progressive couple who is treating the other side with kindness and teaching them through like love and patience. And it's like, okay, but it reaches a point where it still isn't working. And it's like, at the end of the day, the other side is the one that's causing you harm and saying that you can't live your life. And so it reaches a point where it's like, cool, I've tried to get through to you and it's not going to work. So it's not worth my time. And like, you can go F yourself, basically. And I like, especially how it's saying that that's almost never shown on a television show, but it's like, sometimes that actually is the healthiest thing to do. Like, instead of just constantly torturing yourself over this person who's not going to change their mind and is just making you feel terrible, you can be angry and you should get them out of your life. And honestly, if you need to express your anger to that person, that's okay.
Absolutely.
Completely. I love all of that. And I do agree with what you were saying, Lena, and with what these emails say, that it's, you know, it's like Brittany has seen Santana go through this with Abuela. She saw it 3 years ago. It's happening again. It's clear that Abuela has not changed her mind and that having Abuela in her life is just going to hurt Santana more and more. And so, like, Brittany is really defending her fiance and, like, standing up for her. I get all of that. I just have complicated feelings about it. Mm-hmm. I just think it's a situation that is very case by case for a lot of people. I think family relationships tend to be far more complicated than relationships with people that you do not share blood with. And so, what am I trying to say? I think for a lot of people, this is very true that they have a homophobic family member who is like absolutely destroying their self-worth. And it would be a knight in shining armor moment to have their partner stand up to that homophobic family member and like put them in their place and then for them to realize, I don't actually
need
their
this.
Approval and I should be with my partner. But there are other people that it's that have like at the end of the day, I don't know. I just think, I don't know. I'm not saying that this was wrong and you both make great points. Mm-hmm. It's just my, like you said, my prickling of it came from familial relationships are so complicated and it made me uncomfortable the way that Brittany was making assumptions on Santana's feelings about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because
that's my problem with it is her lying to Santana and lying to Alma for a week and essentially swindling these two people into, you know, a game maybe they're not ready to play, you know?
Yeah. Because it's like, at the end of the day, it goes over well with Santana and Santana's glad it happened and thank goodness.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank goodness.
But I can imagine a world where like, I did this for my partner or they did it for me. And it in the moment, you thought it was such a great idea and you're standing up for them. And then it ended and your partner was like, why would you do that? Like, that's my, you know, grandmother, mother, whatever. And I was really trying, like, that was such an important relationship to me that I was trying to salvage and you just ruined it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just people's family relationships are so sacred to them. And I wish that we had
even when they're toxic.
Exactly. Even when they're toxic. I just wish there was a scene in this before this confrontation happened where we got more of Santana's perspective on the whole issue.
Yes.
And that Santana vocalized a little more how, I don't know, how much her relationship with her abuela is hurting her. I don't know. But we do have the scene at the beginning and she talks about how she wishes that she was at her wedding. It just feels like a big assumption on Brittany's part that then thankfully ends well.
It ends well, thank
God. But it
God.
Feels like it's taking a lot of agency away from Santana in Santana's own familial relationships.
Like, you should be able to tell your family to fuck off yourself if that's what you want, like, if that's the choice you're making, you know?
Or like, absolutely, if it's too hard for you, you should have someone be able to step in and defend you and tell him to fuck off for you.
Maybe let's make a plan. And maybe that was the plan, but I don't know. Yeah. But it wasn't the plan, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
this is all complicated. And I do really like that people do like it. And I think there's so much about this to enjoy. I do think it is like a complicated thing to put on every single relationship. And it's not trying to be every single familial relationship. It's just a TV show. But I think I have a tendency to put myself into every situation ever I ever see ever in my life.
Yeah. And I think in the same way that it's different for everyone, I do think that we were too hard on it in the episode in the sense that there are a lot of people in relationships that this would be a wonderful thing for them.
Yes.
And
oh my
they
God.
Do have like really awful toxic relationships that they just can't bring themselves to end,
completely.
But they like want and need them to end. So to have someone kind of step in and stand up for them would be wonderful. Yeah, which is why I really appreciate these two emails.
Yeah.
It's just family relationships are complicated.
Honestly, yeah.
There's a lot going on, baby.
Yeah. I do. I mean, I love this scene. And I think it's so brave. You know, obviously, Santana knows that Alma's going to be there. She puts on this performance for her. And she puts her heart out there again. And that is so brave of her to do. And to get rejected like that again after 3 years is, I mean, so painful and so awful. And I'm really glad that it worked out well. And I'm glad that Brittany could call out Alma being despicable. Like, these two emails are right. This person is a bad person. Like, this is bigoted behavior. And maybe you have love for them, but that doesn't make them a good person, you know, and that's all complicated. And, you know, I'm glad that it worked out and Santana was happy about it. But
and also in a show that has in the past shown a lot of like forgiveness.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
In relationship stuff, there's been like, which, you know, I'm pro forgiveness and there's been a lot of stuff in this show where one person really harms another person and then is forgiven, like Finn outing Santana, which I don't, that's not the best example because he doesn't ever apologize. That was terrible.
Yeah.
But then like in Old Dog New Tricks, we have the mother and daughter that like Kurt intervenes with and the mother was so absent, but then the episode is very much like, but she should forgive her mother anyway. And isn't it healing? It is nice to have in this episode an example of, okay, but literally sometimes that's not the healthy thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you can forgive them in your heart in the sense that like stop holding on to resentment for them, but like letting them back into your life and saying, let's let bygones be bygones is not always the best thing to do.
No, not at all. You don't have to keep toxic people, even if they're your family, in your life at all. And if that's what we take away from the scene, I'm glad. Shout out to Jaden. Shout out to Alex. I genuinely appreciate these emails. They are, honestly, your minds. Oh my gosh.
Not to be the morning parade.
Whoa. Let's hear from another friend of the podcast. Let's hear from Kenna.
Hey fam, it's Kenna again, because if there's a Sam plot, you know I'm going to have thoughts on it. Hashtag Sam stands for life. Most of what I'm going to say in this email is me echoing what Allison said in the episode, because she pretty much hit the nail exactly on the head. But I just wanted to talk about Samchul more. Like Allison said, if you look a little deeper than what the show is offering, there is a lot to the ship. I'm still much more about Sam Sadies and Faberi, don't get me wrong, but there is such a sweetness to Samchul that is so lovable. I think one thing Sam and Rachel have going in terms of compatibility is that they are both very earnest people. Sam is honest about his wants and faithful to people he loves in an unshakable sort of way. Rachel has a lot of this honesty in herself too, even if it has been muddled over the years and through all she's been through. That's where their trust for one another comes from. They both see that earnestness in each other and know they don't have to play games. The way Sam lays out for Rachel his feelings for her and also his unresolved feelings for Mercedes is a moment of truth that seems to only endear Rachel to him more. I don't fully buy Samchul as endgame. In my fan canon, Rachel and Quinn reunite and fall in love sometime post-series. But I do see them having a relationship that lasts at least long enough for them both to find a sense of healing from it. They are really good for each other in that way. Both the perfect first step into dating again that the other needs. There is a softness to the way the two of them interact that is really refreshing to see after so many Glee relationships that go 0 to 100 in the span of one or two episodes. I really liked the idea of Sam and Rachel's relationship continuing in that direction, soft and honest and safe, and being such a source of good for them until it reaches an amicable conclusion. In this season, with Rachel at her lowest point and Sam healing over things just not being able to work with someone he was deeply in love with, they both seem to be incredibly grateful to have one another as friends and as romantic partners. I can't get over Rachel saying to Sam a few episodes ago that it feels really good to be alone with a guy she feels safe with. That's lovely. I'm so happy for them. Anyways, thanks for reading. I want good things for Sam and Rachel, and it's great to see them have it. On an unrelated note, my mom recently unearthed a letter I wrote to Ryan Murphy after it was announced Cord Overstreet would not be returning for season 3 of Glee. I've attached it to this email as further proof of my devotion to Sam. Kenna, she, her. Here is what the letter says. Dear Mr. Murphy, it has come to my attention that you have decided to cut Cord Overstreet as regular. I would like to sway you not to do this. I'm sure me and many other Cord addicts would be very upset if he doesn't appear in season 3. I urge you to change your mind. I know money may be tight for the show, but the character Sam Evans will probably bring in a lot of income. Cord has quite a big fan base, too, as shown by the 11,578 signatures on the Keep Cord Overstreet as a Regular on Glee twittition as of 6:46 p.m. on July 5th, 2011. I'm sorry for laughing, Kenna. This is very serious. Many of these fans would stop watching Glee if Cord leaves the program. I think you should seriously consider reinstating him as a regular. I hope this has changed your mind. Thank you for reading. Respectfully, Kenna. Kenna, this is what we call democracy in action. This is what we call taking a stand, using your voice. As we've seen on Glee, it worked. Because you know what happened? Cord Overstreet was reinstated as a series regular. And I'm pretty sure, I mean, I don't know, but I feel pretty confident in saying that this letter probably had a lot to do with it, Kenna.
Her mind, girl.
Don't let the morning parade see your mind, baby.
Literally. They'll objectify it. They're crazy. No, this makes me so happy that you shared this.
The phrase twittition.
Twittition.
In a very serious letter that you are sending to America's most powerful, second most powerful showrunner, Ryan Murphy. Bold.
Bold. You're going to change the world with that. I like it.
Glad to see that your Sam-dom is still strong. I'm glad to see you're still a Cord addict. And really, Allison really did sway my mind on Samchill a lot.
Yeah.
I like what you say in this email, and that you don't buy Samchill as endgame. I don't either.
Yeah.
But they are both the first step that the other needs. And I think that's a beautiful thing that can come out of relationships, that it's like not all relationships are meant to be. In fact, in most people's lives, just one relationship is meant to be. But that doesn't mean that like all of your other relationships are a waste of time. To quote Ariana Grande, thank you, next, I'm so effing grateful for my ex. You can like, you know, Sam and Rachel, I don't think are compatible enough to stand the test of time together. But that doesn't mean that they don't have a lot to learn from each other and they can't like help each other out of a hard time.
Yes. I remember I was going through a breakup right as that song came out and I was like, gosh, how lucky am I to live in a world with Ariana Grande? And that song healed me. I love that song so much. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Kenna, I totally agree. Samchill, I'm kind of a Samchill stan now. And I totally agree with you, Ian. I don't think every relationship has to be endgame for it to be worth it. And I love that. Yeah. Hell yeah, y'all. That's Minisode 110.
Can you believe?
No.
And now we're going to play Relative pitch 110. Just kidding, not 110, because we didn't start this game until a ways into the minisode.
Yeah. But I'll go first.
Yes. We got so many songs to choose from. We have I'll Never Fall in Love Again. We have Baby It's You. Ooh. Wish It and Hope and Arthur's Theme. They Long to Be Close to You. Promises, Promises. Alfie, Alfie. Why did I say it twice? I went Promises, Promises, Alfie, Alfie.
Alfie, Alfie. I liked it.
What the World Needs Now.
That's and my laugh. That's how I laugh.
I was going to say. Sing They Long to Be Close to You.
Yes. Why do birds suddenly appear every time you are near? Just like me, they long to be close to you. Dinanim. On the day that you were born, the angels got together and decided to... Yes.
The... Why do birds suddenly appear? Was F to, oh god, F to A flat to like an E moment, I think, to a D flat, a bunch of stuff. But F to A flat is the important part. E flat, pardon me. There you go.
Okay, who knows?
That's a third below you. You were a third sharp. But play Karen. Because you were thinking of Karen Carpenter. You were not thinking of Chord Overstreet. No offense to chord addict Kenna. But you had Karen Carpenter on the brain. So you're closer.
But not.
You're just a half step off of her. You're half step sharp.
Well, that makes
much better
sense.
Than a third.
True.
Yeah.
I want you to sing Wishing and Hoping.
Wishing and Hoping. And thinking and praying, planning and dreaming each night of her charms that won't get you into her arms. So if you're looking to find love. That's not what I thought. That's not the original key that I wanted to go with, but it's what I went to. So we're going to do that.
Hell yeah.
Looking to find love. Wishing and hoping. And praying. We're going to say that. Wishing and hoping and thinking and praying, planning and dreaming each night of her charms. I won't get you into her arms. So that's literally just descending from an E to a C. Okay, so that's, I'm a step and a half sharp. She did C sharp to B to A. Oops. Another
whoa,
day, another
mini
loss.
Gleeks.
Another day, another right. L.
I took an L. I took an L last week, too.
Here's what y'all don't know.
What?
I've been throwing the competition every week because the Mindful Parade's emails, the morning
Mindful
parade,
parade,
the Mindful Parade, they're all therapists.
they're just walking throughout town being like,
yeah,
okay,
and they're like, we all have
I'm just
to
taking
do,
in everything.
Yeah, they're like, we're all going to do mindful exercises. Everyone list 10 things you see in the room right now. What are 4 things you can hear?
Yeah.
What are 3
while
things you can
walk,
smell?
While you walk, feel the gravel. Yeah.
Yes. Love a mindfulness parade.
Yeah.
No, the morning parade's emails have gotten so... They've made me so uncomfortable objectifying my mind that I'm purposely throwing the relative pitch game to make my mind seem less appealing to them.
No,
I actually, if I were to really try, I would get it correct every single week.
Every single week.
Every single week.
Yeah. No.
And that's true. And you can't prove that
it's to
not.
Keep yourself safe. I'm cool with that.
Exactly. Exactly.
You can't prove
keep
it.
Me safe.
You can't prove it's wrong. Yeah. Hell yeah. Well,
they,
thanks,
they
mini
sent
gleeks.
Me in the mail an x-ray of my brain.
How'd they get that?
And it just
that?
Had scratched into it. It said this from my lobotomy. And it just said scratched into it, this will be mine.
The way you said that? From my lobotomy.
Just come on. Come I talk on. About it all the time.
I know.
One of the
nonstop.
Key experiences of my life.
Did you get your lobotomy at Claire's?
I did. Yes, I got my first lobotomy at Claire's. You know, my mom was like, okay, you're 13. We can finally get your first lobotomy. Mm-hmm. I go to Claire's.
That's interesting because nasty... when I was 13, I got my second lobotomy at Claire's.
Oh, dang. So you're one of those people that like your parents like lobotomized you when you were a baby. When I was a baby. Yes. I know some people like that.
Yeah.
They use that same needle that they use for like all the other kids that they lobotomize. And you're like, is this really?
And then I wear it for sanitary? Like years afterwards. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You just keep that. You like do not let the scar heal. You just keep that scar across your forehead. I got it at Claire's. Thank you.
Oh my God.
Anyway, thank you all for emailing in. Tune in on Wednesday for our episode on transitioning. And if you have thoughts on that episode, send them to us at recoveringgleek@gmail.com.
Absolutely. We love you all very much. Have a great rest of your week. It's Monday, y'all. I bet this week's going to be the best week of your life. It's June. Happy Pride. Love you guys.
Be best week you of your life.
For your pride. Don't hide. Love you guys. Here's a mini kiss on your mini forehead. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.